and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
So, I realize it's a podcast and who knows when you're listening, but seeing as this is the first day the podcast has been up, given that time frame, the number five movie in the nation, Spider-Man, Welcome to the Spider-Verse.
I think it's just Spider-Man into the Spider-Man is in there, and Spider-Verse is also part
of it. I've just been calling it Spider-Verse. And of all the movies I've seen in the theater, I have to say this is one of the best I've seen in a long, long time. Just an overall.
You're talking about Spider-Man films in general?
No, just movies. Overall, this had so much going for it.
It really was this odd blend of, I mean, just, again, specifically, like, I've seen every Spider-Man movie that they've made. Wasn't a huge fan of the Raimi movies. I really liked Amazing Spider-Man. Thought Amazing Spider-Man 2 was a little overstuffed. This right here is about as close as you will get to a perfect Spider-Man movie.
And I'm going to say, this is your favorite Nicolas Cage movie.
I really liked Face Off. Like, and it's just...
Well, it is hilarious.
Audacity. Like, but if you're talking about an actual quality film, you may be correct.
Yeah.
Leaving Las Vegas was good. I forget. Yeah. It's been like 20
Face
years.
Face Off is just so funny.
Face Off just... It goes so far over, like it
and
just
the doves and the slow motion and
it's
just
Face Off is a lot of fun.
I
don't want to call it a good movie because I don't want people to question like my opinion in film. But man, is it? It's a ride.
Yeah,
it's a ride.
However, Spider-Verse is a good movie.
It's a good animated movie. It's a good Spider-Man movie. It's a good movie. Just period.
My girls are 12 and 13, and when the anime spider person showed up, they found it funny on so many levels because they've watched anime and they said, okay, this is what's going to happen next, which made me so proud.
Well, the catch about this movie is like you're getting these genres like kind of crash landing into each other. You have your traditional Peter Parker Spider-Man, the one that largely you've seen depicted in most of the Spider-Man movies. Like, he's heroic, like he's very put upon, like he goes out of it. Great power, comes great response. I mean, he's just, it's the Spider-Man. You have Miles Morales, who is a creation as of, I want to say, early... Mid-2000s, like Brian Michael Bendis actually created him. He took over in the Ultimate Universe whenever Peter Parker was killed by the Green Goblin. That's a very short way of describing it. He is an African-American teen Spider-Man.
Latino.
As well, yeah. Like a blending of... He's a very interesting and different take on the Spider-Man mythos. You have him in the movie who's actually the star of the film. Like, it's also worth noting that the best Spider-Man movie they have released does not star Peter Parker, who traditionally is who you think of whenever you say Spider-Man. Like, if I say Batman, you probably think Bruce Wayne. If I say Superman, you think Clark Kent. Most people, when I say Spider-Man, are going to either go, who is that? Or Peter Parker.
So... It is animated, and it has the love of my life, John Mulaney, in it. Not nearly enough. I need more Spider-Pig.
Mulaney, isn't he's Spider-Ham, like, is just... Peter Porker is...
Peter Porker.
I'm just saying, like, is just a... The thing about it, he's actually from the comic books. Like... That is a legit... When I saw that he was going to be in the movie, I'm just like, I've got to understand the justification. What in...
When did this character appear? Because Spider-Pig, as I miscalled him, that's from the Simpsons movie.
Yes, it's not...
But still, hilarious. Spider-Ham...
I cannot give you the years right off. But, like, he was always kind of in the background... when I was a kid, like all of them have it appeared at some like Spider-Noir, the one that Nicolas Cage, like it's not an Elseworlds tale. It's a, I think it's a what if tale of basically like if Spider-Man existed at this point in time, and you've got the anime one that like Marvel manga during the late 90s, I want to say, like Marvel created their own manga universe. And they had like a manga Iron Man, they had a manga Spider, like basically they took their most popular characters and kind of created a version of them for that. And like the character's been largely forgotten like until this point in time.
So then, because I was unaware of any of these characters except of course for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and Spider-Man, attorneys at law. This then serves as a launching off point for all of them.
Well, once you breach that, like, there's nothing that you can't bring into that world. And, like, as much as, like, you got your bread and butter, like your Avengers, you know, your Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, these are generally at the forefront. Sony has wanted their own Spider-Man universe for years. And that's what Amazing Spider-Man was supposed to lead into until Amazing Spider-Man 2 almost lost money. And they were just like, here, Marvel, before we destroy this golden property, go ahead and put your touch on it. Mm-hmm. Which, is it Far From Home? That's the
sequel. Homecoming.
Homecoming and then Far From Home is the sequel.
I knew a superhero thing.
There you
before
go.
You. Just seconds.
It was moments, but it's still a thing. Right, it's a thing.
I'm very excited.
It's like if you ever got to steal a ball from Jordan. Yeah, I mean, sure. You stole a ball from Jordan. That's good.
I had to kick him first, but whatever.
It opens up the door to all, like, there's a clone of Tony Stark that appeared during it's early 90s. A clone of Tony Stark that was a young Tony Stark took over as Iron Man for a short period of time. You had the...
Is he evil?
No. He was just younger. They wanted somebody that was younger, like, wasn't an alcoholic, like, didn't have all
whatever.
These... Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, there are so many different takes on these characters. You had Spider-Gwen, who was from a line called, I think it was M2. You had...
Gwen Stefani with Spider-Man powers?
No, Gwen Stacy.
Oh.
She was in the movie, Spider-Gwen, the one that had, like, the hoodie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The future daughter of Mary Jane Parker and Peter Parker. It was a line that they had done. It was about, basically, futuristic tales of the Marvel Universe. All of the other characters, like, in books were canceled. Spider-Gwen, however, survived for several years, like, after that. Eventually, like, just the sales didn't make financial sense, so it was canceled as well. But it's a character that people have always fondly looked at. The Spider-Man 2099 line, or the Marvel 2000, you had Punisher 2099, Hulk 2099, X-Men 2099. This was launched in like the year 91. You had characters supposedly that were nearly 100 years out from these characters and were futuristic versions of. I'm just saying, like, you have a Spider-Man, another Spider-Man that did not make his appearance there, Spider-Man 2009, has a fantastic-looking costume, really interesting backstory. I'm saying, all of these characters, not just Spider-Man characters, you have got all of this that you can start diving into. Like, granted, if Sony wants to produce it, they do have to keep it within the Spider-Man universe. But the wealth of characters that exist just in the Spider-Man universe is there. If Marvel wants to look at this and just be like, we've got, we've got a trunk of these in the back. Like, we've been making comic books since the 1960s. We can, if this is what you want to see, because I think, I want to say Spider-Verse just crossed like $200, $300 million. There's money in that. Granted, it's not like Infinity War money. But, like, you know, kids gotta have new shoes.
So Spider-Verse is funny. I'm gonna say laugh out loud funny because that's what me and mine did. There's a lot of it's kind of like an onion. It has layers, and it's well written. It's sharp. It's visually interesting. It's a good story.
The one of the authors of Lego Movie, one of the directors of Solo. What else did they did? The 21 Jump Street movies was one of the producers and writers on this. If that tells you why it's so as sharp as it is. I don't remember which one of them, it's Lord or Miller, but I cannot remember which one of them was the one that was doing the writing. But I'm just saying, those guys, they understand funny.
Mm-hmm.
They really legitimately funny. Do. And it's just a well-written, interesting Spider-Man movie, and don't let the fact that it's animated put you off. I know that a lot of people, they're like, oh, it's a cartoon.
Whatever.
It's a fun movie. You even have two Peter Parker Spider-Mans. Mm-hmm. Like, one is your more traditional one.
Voiced by Chris Pine.
Like, they even show, I believe it's actually supposed to be the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, because, they show you a couple scenes in the beginning when they're kind of giving you a very, abbreviated origin story. A lot of those things happened in those movies. So I'm assuming that's who that was supposed to be. You have I'm going to call him less heroic, doughy Spider-Man in this.
Dad bod.
Almost has to be harassed into doing the right thing. One of the best jokes in the movie, and I don't want to go into too much of the story because there's some emotional beats that I get stolen from you if I tell you about it beforehand. But one of the doctors who understands multiverse theory, we'll call it that, because they have to be transported through these, dimensional barriers. She's like, oh, when you transported through the dimensional barrier, it must have caused this to, and you gained. Basically, it was explaining why he was heavier, and he's like, yes, that's why. I wasn't like that before I went through the dimensional barrier.
Exactly.
Just, and he's just got, this Spider-Man is, he's constantly eating pizza, mm-hmm. And he's still wearing that form-fitting Spider-Man, but he doesn't have that,
he's not Peter Griffin.
No, but he's not Andrew Garfield either.
He is not.
I'm just saying, and it's funny to see that depiction of Spider-Man, because we always see those characters, your Christian Bale Batman, your mm-hmm. Henry Cavill Superman, they're these godlike physical specimen, just chiseled mm-hmm. from mountains, and you finally get to see one, and he's still wearing a skin-tight outfit, but he's just ooh, that cheeseburger right there. Are you going to finish that there, Miles? Oh, look at that. Ooh, that cheese fry? Do you?
Cheese fries. So, it's a real funny movie. You should see it. Before we talk quickly about the next one, again, quickly, I know we go off on tangents, but I'm dying to know your opinion. I just read that DC Comics, and it's not April, so I think this is real. DC Comics is launching a new comic called Second Coming. The superhero is Jesus. And Jesus is coming back and learning how to be a, stay with me, superhero from a Superman type of character, because he's come back because he feels some of his message got garbled.
Do we know which? I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably not the DC proper line that. You've got a lot of sublines that DC will release.
It's coming out in March.
Kind of like how Disney doesn't, Miramax releases, more mature fare. It's kind of like that, but with comic books.
Okay, well, it's coming out in March.
It sounds like a Vertigo release to me.
It said DC Comics on the side. I just saw the front. You have the Superman-ish guy might have had a gun, and then you have Jesus stuffing a very long loaf of bread into a criminal's mouth. Honestly, it's all I know about it.
Now, Mark Miller wrote one that kind of similar to this, but a much more serious take on it. Basically, the way he described it whenever he released it was, think of the Old Testament as A New Hope, the New Testament as Empire Strikes Back. He goes, this book is kind of the Return of the Jedi of the Bible, was the way he described it. And this character that you're led to believe is Christ reborn is actually the devil. Like, it's a the entire series, it's a mini series. Like, I want to say it's like 3-4 issues. And you're led to believe that he is leading, and people are getting behind him. And eventually, in the last issue, like, more or less, they're revealing, they're like, oh, no, that's the devil. Like, this is the end of the world. It will perish in fire. And, like, you're led.
Did it really surprise you?
Yeah, I thought that was the second coming of Jesus. I was like, oh, okay, all right, I'm on board for the. And then, like, he's misled all these people into that. He's got them behind him, and then it's just like, oh, my father's the devil. The world will burn, and I'm just like, and that's how they end it.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so you're just like, oh,
closure. Nice.
I guess. All right.
Okay.
But it sounds this might be a more comical or lighter, the very.
Yes, and you know, as Christians ourselves, other Christians, great senses of humor.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
All right. So I'm sure this will be very well received.
Which is the reason why I was asking if it was DC they were releasing it under. Like, because Warner Brothers is pretty protective of that particular brand.
I just want you to look into it.
I'll check it out.
Because I feel it, that the power compels you. Jane Ellen here, talking with Adam Cravens. This is Parental Guidance Suggested, movie reviews on the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center. You also saw, wait for it, I'm going to remember it in a hot second. Oh, Bzzz. Bumblebee, which is not in the top five. Now, Spider-Verse came out before Bumblebee. Of course, Aquaman's still in the top five. Bumblebee made a lot, maybe?
It made enough money to be profitable.
Okay.
Like, the Bayformer movies have traditionally...
Bayformer.
They're not Transformer. That's Michael Bay's Transformer. I'm just saying, like...
Did you patent that, Bayformer? Is that an atomism?
If not, I should have. Now, I'm sure I've heard it somewhere before. But, like, basically, you've got, like, your Generation 1 Transformers, the cartoon that I watch, the toys that I play with. Those are the Transformers. The movies that started in, what was it, 07, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Those are definitely of their own ilk. Like, those are not the Transformers that I grew up on. Like, I did enjoy aspects of the first Transformers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the Transformers, the movie, the one that had Orson Welles voicing somebody, the cartoon. I'm talking about the 2007 Michael Bay directed, Shia LaBeouf starring 2007 Transformers.
Is he still wearing a paper bag?
I hope so.
Okay.
I certainly hope so. And he appeared nowhere in this movie, which is one of my favorite things about this movie. One of my largest issues with those movies, that what he was allowed to be in them.
Yes. Or even remotely suggested that he would be Indiana Jones's son.
That I'm convinced he saw Steven Spielberg kill someone, and he was basically just told him, and he's like, fine, Stevie, you don't go to jail, but I'm Indiana Jones Jr.
Okay,
and I'm starring in those Michael Bay Transformer movies, and he's like,
all right,
oh my goodness, it's a really high price. Maybe I should just go to jail. And he's like, you serious, Steven? And he's like, okay, fine. You can be Indiana Jones' son, and you're in the mic.
So Spielberg had his hand in Bumblebee because...
Steven Spielberg is the one that hired Michael Bay to direct the Transformers movies. DreamWorks had the rights to it.
I don't know if I've ever seen one the whole way through.
If you have seen 7 minutes of one of them, you have seen...
That's what I believe.
Except this one.
Okay.
Like the... Let's see.
This one looked almost appealing.
You had Transformers the movie, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Transformers Dark of the Moon, Transformers...
Dance, Dance, Dance?
The Last Night, and then there's another one that I can't think of
okay.
right now.
So this, just from the trailer, my kids immediately wanted to see it. It reminded me of WALL-E. But you tell me, it's actually E.T. in car form.
They have real, like, and the fact that Steven Spielberg was all, as he has been on all the Transformers movies, executive produced this film.
As if he didn't have enough money. I mean, because in the event you don't think globally, as we always do, Transformers make a lot of money because the dialogue's not important. people are seeing it for the action scenes.
These robots punch each other, and that punching robots translate into every language.
Exactly.
It's not like a joke. Like 30 Rock does not play everywhere because some of that is colloquial. It's regional. Like, some of that you're not going to understand if you don't understand that particular aspect of pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
When another giant robot stabs another robot with a sword...
It wouldn't have to be a giant sword?
I mean, if it's not going to be a giant robot, what's the point?
But where would he get the giant sword?
The same place. I don't know. Like, Robot Mart. Whatever. I don't know.
And would he have a giant holster and... Scabbard.
I'm not from the robot planet.
Giant monster.
Whatever they do on robot planet. That's what you need to do there.
All right.
Or Cybertron, I believe, is actually where the Transformers come from.
I see. So it's a robot planet? I mean, the planet itself is a robot?
Listen, if you start doing a deep dive on all of the logic of all of this, Jane, it's not airtight, okay? Why does the leader look like a semi truck? It also depends on, different comic books or different cartoons or different movies will give you different explanations for all of that.
I see.
So, I mean, like I said, A, it's all made up, but B, it just depends on where you want to take that particular whatever from.
Now, I do know this, that Bumblebee is a black and yellow car, and that for a charity, four of them from various and sundry films, not this one, but four different of the Bumblebee cars are being auctioned off as one thing. You have to buy all four of them for some charity. I have no details.
And
they're not street legal.
One of the things I think that this movie did correctly that, I don't want to say it bothered, a ton of people, but the original Bumblebee in the cartoon, the one that popularized the Transformers, he was a VW bug.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a Camaro as depicted in the – I can't call it a Shia LaBeouf movie because I'll throw up in my mouth. We're going to just call it the original. He is shown to be a Camaro.
And
now,
by the way, the VW bug being retired.
That's sad.
However, the rumor is it might come back as an all-electric car. But 2018
Nothing ever completely dies.
Yeah. The VW as you know it,
now
gas-powered.
If I'm remembering correctly, Chevy had some kind of product placement or deal with the Michael Bay Transformer movies, which is why I'm guessing that Bumblebee became a Camaro. And... If we're just being honest with each other, Camaro's a bit sexier than a VW bug. If cars are in fact sexy, I'm going to go ahead and say the Camaro's
tractors
a little bit sexy.
Tractors are.
Well, she thinks my tractor's sexy.
So, he's a Camaro, and does he buzz? I mean, is it just the color thing? That's cars.
And in this particular version, the girl finds him in a junkyard. Like, whenever he first landed on the planet, the army basically came after him because they're like, oh my goodness, there's a giant alien robot. He's going to kill all of us. We should destroy it. He's damaged his vocal cord, or not, they're not vocal. I don't know. He can't talk.
Okay.
And his power supply is damaged. So, basically, he hides by turning himself into a car, and then his power supply shuts down, so he can't do anything. He is similar to what happened to the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz.
I see. Okay. And so she finds Tin Man. So it's the whole. Is it the origin story of Bumblebee or Bumblebee?
This is the Bumblebee movie. This is more. This is how he came to Earth.
Okay.
This is basically it leads you right up into where he's found, or it gives you enough that it goes right into the 2007 movie. It explains why he's a Camaro. It explains why he was already on Earth.
How do Transformers reproduce?
They don't really show that in any of these movies. They're PG-13.
But
Jane, when a semi truck and a plane love each other, and they love each other a lot.
I'm just fascinated now by all these Transformer questions.
They're fuel tanks.
I see.
I again, If you want to delve too far into this, I'm just telling you, it ain't airtight logic. Or maybe I don't know enough about the Transformers, but they don't really go into like Mama Bumblebee and Daddy Bumblebee. Bumblebee, he already here, okay?
Okay. All right. So, and on the whole, let's erase all the other Transformer movies, which I know is a dream of yours.
Yes.
Did you find it mildly entertaining?
If I had not already seen, like, Steven Spielberg basically adapt E.T. into Super 8, and mm-hmm. now, like, I mean, I guess if you're going to rip off something, I guess rip off from the best. This particular Transformers movie had some of the best character development. The lead actress, Haley, what is her last name?
Joel Osment?
No. Oh. It's the girl from True Grit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, her.
She was also in... Oh, it's the
remake of True Grit. Her.
Yeah, yes. Not the yeah. original True yes. Grit. Not that one. She is the main actress in this mm-hmm. one, and actually gives a really strong.
Does she turn into a car?
No. Okay. No. Humans don't. James, you really don't know anything. No. Like they're not vampires. Like if a Transformer bites you, like you don't turn into like a moped. Like,
it's a vamp scooter.
But no, I've been
that.
I will. They're looking for spinoffs, so like they'll just be like, wait a minute, Cybertron vampire. Get this. They're Transformers that bite humans and turn them into smaller electronics. Like if you get bit, you turn into a 4K Blu-ray player.
I gotta tell you, I had such a proud parenting moment, which you would appreciate, but others would like go, huh? When my oldest, Anna Grace, said, I believe she was quoting one of us in a vague way, who greenlit this? What was that meeting like? Because this is garbage. And I was so proud.
If that wasn't directly from one of us, I'd be surprised. Because I know I've said that.
I know I
and
have
I mean,
too.
And I know I've said it more than once. Like, and in front of people, not just like... You know, to myself in front of the mirror or something.
I was really proud. Don't remember what it was about, but still.
Whatever. It was garbage. She probably got caught 30 seconds in one of the Transformers.
Totally
movies.
Deserved it. So, Bumblebee, okay.
Like, if you liked E.T., and I mean, beat for beat, I mean, you've got, like, at the end.
Is it still in theaters now that we're talking about it? I don't remember.
It was released on December 20th. I believe it still is in theaters. Okay. Like, it's not doing, like, ridiculous bank. But, like, it's doing it enough that I think it's Paramount, and I want to say DreamWorks, co-produce it, have basically said that they're going to either explore a sequel to this or further spinoffs of the Transformers
You know what they're
going to
do? They're going to do one sequel, and then they're going to make it into a cheaply produced Netflix cartoon. You're welcome.
I don't want to burst your bubble.
They already did.
They've already done that. Like, not necessarily with Bumblebee, but, like, pretty much, I think, with the release of, if not every one of the Transformer movies, there have been Netflix animated, limited, like,
apparently,
12, 13 episodes.
Those are never suggested for me to watch.
Well, it looks at your previous.
I see.
Now, here's the thing. Like, I've got a bunch of 13 and unders, like, at my house, so it constantly suggests things like that. It's like, you should watch the Trolls cartoon, and I'm like, no, I shouldn't, Netflix. The thing is, I set all of their own accounts up for them, so I won't get that.
Okay, Jim. Oh, my. Who's been watching my YouTube? I don't want to see this. Why is that showing up? Yeah.
I get Fortnite suggestions all the time on my YouTube, and I'm like... YouTube, you don't know me.
No, not as well as
you,
I wanted.
You would like this based on... No, I wouldn't, YouTube. Do not throw that kind of accusation at me.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so Bumblebee, okay. Better than the other Transformer movies and E.T.-esque.
I even think its Rotten Tomato score is considerably high. Like, if you just want to go based on that and, like, none of my suggestion whatsoever, even your aggregate score with most critics and audience members has put this at the top of the Transformers heap. Not necessarily financially, but, like, it's a solid movie. It's not just there's more than just like punching robots. Like I said, there's some character development. There's some solid performances. It feels a whole lot like E.T., almost beat for beat. But one point, E.T. was the highest grossing movie ever made, and it's I'm going to go ahead and put it out there, a classic. Yeah. So if you're going to rip something off.
And I had a punching bag.
It's not a bad thing to rip off.
It looked like E.T. Okay, Spider-Verse, that's a definite. Go out of your way to see Spider-Verse. Absolutely. Because I actually would like to see it 8 or 9 more times.
It will be purchased.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. The credits were rolling, and Jenna's like, pre-order it! So, yeah, which reminds me, I have to pre-order it.
Actually, if you stuck around long enough in the credits, I believe you got a taste of what was to come.
Actually, no, I did stick around for that. Some
in the Spider-Verse.
So, that's it for Parental Guidance Suggested. What's coming up? You've got the
Upside.
Which is, who's even in that?
Bryan Cranston.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And Kevin Hart.
The trailer looks hilarious. And you still haven't seen Steve Carell's movie that looks very creative.
Welcome to Marwen.
And by creative,
I did actually watch it.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay. Give me 2 seconds on it. Just not worth mentioning?
It has a lot of it going for it, but especially considering this is the man that wrote and directed Back to the Future, directed Forrest Gump, did Castaway.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a home run for him. But I honestly, 70% of this movie is solid. There's just a lot of it that doesn't work. It doesn't connect. And that hurts me to say it. Robert Zemeckis, mm-hmm. the gentleman that directed this, is one of my favorite all-time directors.
What is the story? Is Steve Carell a robot?
No. He doesn't turn into a robot at any point. He's not from Cybertron. He is at a local bar, and the gentlemen start picking on him. And he's drunk, and he says some things about himself personally that they find objectionable.
Mm-hmm.
He walks out of there, doesn't thinking about it, and he's beaten by about 5 or 6 men.
Toughs. Street toughs.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's beaten so severely, like he no longer has access to memories that happened before a certain point in time. He was also an artist, and he's been ravaged so much, he can't draw anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he has...
This sounds really depressing.
It's basically about how he copes with that.
I don't want to see anyone beat Steve Carell.
I mean, and it doesn't give you like a graphic depiction of it, but basically it's all about how he starts coping with that. He still has an artistic side, and he starts basically living his life through toys and dolls and like houses that he creates. He has a character that is a stand-in for him, and as he meets like different women in his life that help him, like the one that calls the police for him in this particular instance, like she becomes one of the Barbies that he finds.
Okay.
He is an old school G.I. Joe, and his personification in this one, like he's tough as nails.
Okay,
like
so
he's
is this and it seems funny, but is a lot of this movie Steve Carell holding Barbies and G.I. Joe's going, wah!
You kind of see that setup, and then it goes more into less like his imagination of how these characters are interacting. It's this kind of think if Toy Story was shot with motion capture.
Okay.
Like, and you get to see like basically how he is interpreting the outside world and how he is dealing with it using his different toys. And he's a photographer, so he takes pictures of them. Like when bad things happen, it's one of the characters in there. Like I said, it's just, it's a really interesting concept.
It is.
And like the real world aspects of it, that's the part of it that works.
In the end, do the dolls gang up on the people who hurt him and chew them up?
They don't chew them up. They all have weapons, AK-47s, sniper rifles. Basically, they've got the entire arsenal of like
for
a
real?
1950s G.I. Joe.
For real?
No kidding.
Okay,
yeah.
I was making that up. Yeah.
Like the characters that are like kind of persecuting him in life, they show up as like, think of Ken dolls if they were dressed in Nazi uniforms.
Okay.
Like it's like I said, it's really hard to extrapolate like all of this. There is not a movie like it in the theater right now, and I have a hard time thinking of one to really parallel it with. I think you get definitive points for being an original story, but like I said, it's almost like it's two separate movies that have been made. You've got the toy world, for better, and the real world, and that, like, the performance Carell gives there and all the actresses and actors that are in it, like, it almost would have been fine as its own movie right there. Mm-hmm. And the way he is dealing with it, like I said, that's the part of the film I don't feel like always works, and it almost disconnects you from the rest of the movie.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to run out and see that. But
yeah, if you want to be depressed, like there's some depressing stuff in it.
Yeah, no, I'll pass on that. And you're going to see something funny with Kevin Hart for next week, and that is what I want.
Kevin Hart's I don't want to say he's a sure thing, but like he's that. Besides Dwayne Johnson, he's probably the hardest working man in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Every 4 weeks, I swear there is a new something with one of them in it.
Yes, and I'm all for that, by the way. Because you asked. So, thank you for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Owen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.